Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Angel Connection, a weekly show about all things angelic with your host, international healer and author, C.J. Martis.
Good evening, my angel friends. This is C.J. Martis and you're listening to The Angel Connection on Friday, October 5th. I have a very special guest with me this evening and he's new to the show, though I understand he's a listener after chatting with him briefly before we came on. Tonight I am welcoming Daniel Wheeler for an in-depth discussion about grief and grieving. I felt this was a very important topic to learn about for all of us because, you know, many of us have had to deal with a number of changes that are occurring as a part of this big spiritual shift in the world right now. And when we think of grief, obviously we often attribute this to someone close to us passing away. But there are so many ways that we can engage the grief process, loss of a home, livelihood, or as I know with many of my listeners, their vitality when dealing with chronic illnesses and so on. I will take callers with topic-based questions for Daniel. So please feel free to call in at 1-877-296-0345. Well, normally, guys, I go into the prayer request, but nobody submitted any. So we're just going to send prayers out to everyone who may be out there who needs some support, okay? But remember, you can Facebook those to me or email them to cj at cjmartis.com. Well, you know, all of you know how much I absolutely adore looking for, you know, these Good Samaritans each week. But some of you may be listening tonight, well, may know I've had a very busy week with the launch of my Kickstarter site for my book project, Angel Incarnate One Birth. So my time is kind of cut short for milling about and synchronicity on the internet to find a story about a Good Samaritan to speak about. You know, I do love doing that each week, but it made me start thinking about this segment and why I included it on this show. My reason for making it a weekly part of the show is to inspire others in many ways, whether it's being inspired by hearing about a person who did something extraordinary or 100% selfless, or maybe become inspired themselves to be a Good Samaritan, or even perhaps to realize that there's such good in each of us, even during those times when we feel the world may be against us, or that everyone's just in it for themselves. So I started to think about my own path as a show host, a teacher, an author. My whole world is inspired by a variety of things. I find guests each week and select a show topic because I feel inspired and led to them through synchronicity and other key things that happen in my world. So I reflected today on my own inspired action and my role to be the inspirer of others as well. The best way I know to inspire others is by sharing my own personal experiences and challenges openly so that they can help someone else in some way. When I felt guided to put my project on Kickstarter, it was an exciting endeavor to think of the concept and prospect of everybody supporting the birth of this book. Began to also back projects of others, made me feel really good to help support them as well. I suppose, like most, at first I was striking out as an adventurer and really had no idea that I would really learn much about myself and significantly challenge some old habits and issues as well. In order to even complete this site, I had to share a lot about myself and do a video, which was so much more challenging, actually, than I thought. Apparently, I can talk and talk to everybody, as you know, and Gabby was my nickname as a child, but talking to a camera simply was not my thing. But I got out of my comfort zone to do it and had the support of my friend, Erica. Otherwise, it probably wouldn't have gotten done. Honestly, the thoughts challenging my mind for the past month have been all over the place when we're doing something new. Who am I to ask others to give so much to help me? Will people think I'm selfish for asking them to help me out? What will people say when I share openly about angels visiting me and inspiring this book? Well, what if no one pledges? What if I fall on my face? What if? And I've also had to work with my inner child to help her understand it's safe to be who we are publicly. She wasn't real thrilled about that. On the first day, I found myself riveted to the site to see what would happen. Over the first day, exactly 11 people pledged the project. Well, you know, when you see multiples of ones, that's angel communication. So I felt like the seraphim were giving me a high five, saying, good job, you did it, you got out there. Over the next day, though, I received so many emails from people who just wanted to offer support even though they couldn't pledge. Others offering alternatives a friend had tried and worked to get their book out. Others just wanting to share that they thought the book would help so many who were awakening spiritually at this time. So I found out that my inspired action to put together the project on Kickstarter, and I was now receiving inspiration from so many people, and many I didn't even know, and that I should always believe in myself and what I wanted to do, to keep on going regardless of the outcome and to always dream big. Wow, they were mirroring to me what I often mirrored to others in my life. Then it really occurred to me that putting the book on the site was to be about more the connection to others and how we can help each other with our dreams and goals, rather than what my old type A tendency would love through measurement and numbers, reaching the finish line of the 100% funding. In only 3 days, it's already been a personal journey about letting go of my own attachments to so many things that lay deep inside me as a human being, being validated by others, attached to successful outcomes, to how well I can manifest what I need, and letting go of worry about what will come of this in the next 27 days, or even what will happen afterwards. And, of course, there's so much more. So today I consciously released the project on Kickstarter to become whatever it will be. I do hope that it gets funded, but I can now surrender more deeply to the spirit of who I am. I believe that each of us can and will inspire other people to their own greatness through a sharing of who we really are. I invite you all to see in yourself this week what incredible inspiration you are to me and the others in your life. So I invite you to share in my conscious prayer for each of us to embrace and become inspired by everything that we are capable of and become exactly who we were born to be, which undoubtedly will inspire others to do the same. So that's my inspiring story, is that we're all inspiration givers, and by being ourselves, we inspire others to their true nature. So without further ado, I know you guys are always waiting on this one, the angel message for October 5th. And dear ones, this week will be about seeing the truth of who you are and what you are capable of in the various areas of your life, both personally and professionally. The energies of harmony and balance are flowing into the world right now to continue to stabilize and ground the higher divine frequencies that are now supporting the world. This divine love is flowing into the earth to open it now to greater possibilities for peace and harmony at a global level. The energies this week will support your healing as well as allow you to see the entirety of who you are. It's definitely a week for practicing faith and belief in yourself, and to deepen your trust in your inner wisdom to guide you. If a personal challenge pops up this week, don't spend time on how or why it was created, but rather accept that it is happening and open up instead to your wisdom in order to find the appropriate solution. You cannot access a solution to a problem when you are either stuck in self-judgment or trying to answer questions that you'll eventually see the answer to anyway. It's a great week also to return to basics in a spiritual way. Are you taking time for meditation or prayer regularly? It's best to remember that the best supportive tools in your life are the simplest. It can be very easy to go, 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 and overlook the basics of nurturing yourself. This is especially true when the more positive universal energies open up to inspire you as they are right now. Be very mindful and create more time for stillness so that you can listen to your inner wisdom fully. You truly have everything you need within you if you cultivate it. Your inner wisdom is like a tiny seedling that you must nurture and support so that it can thrive. It needs your love and conscious support every single day. Alternately, if you forget to water and feed the seedling, it will wither and fade. Self-support and personal care is essential for you to create deeper unconditional love inside of you that can be fully shared to help others. It's the root of creating a new reality for your life, and it's the key to accessing the full awakening of your divine potential. We support your conscious awareness of your gifts and potentials and the journey you are on to find your path and purpose. We know that you will see all that you need to understand about your powerful nature in the months to come if you choose to listen to what your body, mind, and spirit need. Know that we are only a thought away. Be still and invite us in to help you and open your heart to the vast beauty inside of you. And of course, don't forget to play and laugh and be your inner child from time to time. Until next time, dear ones, we are the Seraphim. Wow, that's a great angel message this week. Wonderful. Well, now to the topic at hand. My guest tonight, Daniel Wheeler, is an author of a wonderfully complete book that I've had a chance to review on grief and grieving, Understanding Grief and the Grieving Process. And he has over 16 years of experience as a writer, lecturer, life coach, and clinical hypnotherapist. He's acclaimed as a dynamics presenter on a wide variety of topics. Daniel's desire is to help others understand the grief and grieving process so that they may seek support that they need to live a better life beyond loss. So without further delay, I'd like to welcome Daniel to the Angel Connection. Welcome, Daniel.
Hello, CJ. Nice to be here.
It's wonderful to have you on the show, and I know we were discussing briefly before you came on the show, you know, that people really feel like this is a significant topic to be discussing right now. And so just delighted to have you on as really I loved your book, an expert in this area. So to begin our discussion about, you know, grief and grieving, I want to speak to the process a bit, you know, but we only sometimes attribute grieving to the loss of a loved one. That's not really true, is it? So what are some of the different ways that we trigger this grieving process?
Well, certainly, yeah, that's not always true. You know, sure, we experience grief, the loss of a loved one, but we can also experience grief as a normal reaction to any kind of a loss. Anytime we experience a loss, let's say whether it's a loss of a loved one or whether it's the loss of a job or a loss of a home, a divorce or separation, a loss in status or lifestyle, and even our freedom and our health, some degree of grief will naturally occur when we experience these. And grief is our normal emotional reaction to a loss. And the process of grieving is the process of emotional life adjustment that we go through after a loss. So like I was saying, there's quite a few areas that we don't think about that when we experience a loss, we are affected emotionally by that. Losing a job, for one, especially where the economy's been for the last few years, we don't realize that that's a loss and that it's, you know, it's an important part of our lives. And so we go through a grieving process for that as well. So those are just some of the areas that we can experience grief from.
Well, and I you know, that's so true with the economy, loss of job, and often, you know, like the angel message, you know, self-care is kind of important, and that's why I wanted to discuss the topic tonight, because we're often trying to survive these catastrophic events, but we may not know what we need to do to move beyond that, right? So, and with spiritual shift, in fact, I even think that we're, though I don't hear people talk about it, that we are engaging grief in a different way as we change how we view ourselves, what the identity is. As we're going through this real spiritual evolution, it's almost like a death of versions of ourselves. So I actually think that this topic would be, you know, real applicable just to the spiritual, you know, shedding those layers of stuff, right?
Well, certainly, yes. I mean, letting go is important. Not letting go of memories and not letting go of, you know, good times, but letting go of some of the negativity that goes along with, you know, shedding some of that and getting rid of the past. Also, if you're in addiction, you're experiencing a loss too, you know, so that
right.
It plays in as well. So if you're, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's say, you know, you're addicted to alcohol or drugs, whatever it is. When you kick that habit, there's a degree of grief that you're going to go through because it's something that you're going to lose that you're, you know, you've been using it as a coping tool for whatever has been going on in your life. And it's hard to kick the habit. So keep that in mind that even if you're fighting an addiction, there's still grief and there's still loss involved.
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned that, actually, because I don't think we, you know, when we're trying to better ourselves, for instance, and a lot of people don't know, you know, when I was younger, I beat an addiction myself. So, you know, we're trying to do something really good for ourselves. we're trying to do that, you know, but yet it still is a very human loss. And something that I,
go ahead.
You're very polite. Something that, you know, as I, and I always learn so much when I bring guests like yourself on the show. And I didn't realize until I reviewed your book that I that there were different types of grief. Mm-hmm. And so can you briefly talk about that for listeners, you know, the kind of different types of grief?
Well, certainly I can. Okay, there's a type of grief called anticipatory grief, and there's also complicated grief. I'll give you an example. An anticipatory grief would be something that's a pending loss, impending that you know you're going to, you know, let's say it's your caregiver and you know, or your hospice helper or worker, or even if you're just a family member and you're taking care of another family member, there's a certain amount of anticipatory grief knowing that that loss is going to happen. And so you will experience grief through that, believe it or not, some of the same emotions that you would experience after the loss. There's also, let's say, an impending loss of your job. So you start worrying, you start having a lot of the emotions and the feelings that go along with a loss will manifest themselves as well. So that's a couple of examples of what anticipatory grief is. There's complicated grief, which is grief that will that comes from a sudden loss or a traumatic loss, and it could cause complicated grief. Complicated grief is a type of grief or prolonged grief where we could fall into deep depression, and that's why we call it a prolonged grief or complicated, because definitely when you fall into a deep depression, then of course it becomes very complicated. There's grief in suicide. With somebody in your family or somebody you know, loved one or something, commits suicide, there's grief about that. That's a sudden loss to you, so that would be considered a complicated grief. Even if you, if somebody was to attempt suicide and fail at it, then there's a grief that goes along with that, which is discussed in the book about being able to understand your emotions after a suicide attempt. There's grief and addiction, which I spoke just briefly about earlier, and about kicking a habit, whether you're grieving over somebody that is an addict, or whether you're kicking a habit because you have been addicted to something, whether it's alcohol or whatever it is, drugs or whatever. So there's a grief with that. And then there's grief and sudden loss can also mean natural and man-made disasters. The terrorist attack on 9/11, that was a sudden loss of life, and that created a lot of grief in so many people's lives that were personally touched by it, but also in the lives of all of the people around the world and in our nation as we coped and we tried to understand and deal with that type of sudden loss. Natural disasters are not man-made disasters, but they can create just as much loss and turmoil and upset in our lives, and they can create a complicated grief and prolonged grief, just surviving something like that. So there are several different, like I said, several different ways you can experience grief in certain different circumstances, many different circumstances that can create grief. So,
well, you know, there, when you are, depending on the type of grief, you know, I think it's interesting because I wouldn't have thought about, you know, when we know something really is inevitable kind of situation. So we'll actually begin that grief process or those stages of grief, right, ahead of time. And so, you know, I'm familiar because of having to really use these stages for myself at one point in my life, and I could really identify going through those. But they're familiar to me, but they might not be for listeners, because there's stages of the grief process from start to finish, right?
That is correct. Yes, there are, but it's not necessarily in any particular order. But
right.
I can address that, which... one thing I'll say, too, with that anticipatory grief, just going back to that real quick, that if you are a person that has experienced an illness, let's say you're going through a terminal illness you, the person itself, the patient, the loved one, can be experiencing grief too as their life shifts and as they're in that, in those circumstances. So it's not necessarily just the caregiver that would experience the grief, but also the person that's being cared for can experience the same kind of emotions that we all experience, just like you said, anticipating that loss. And so, like in 1969, psychiatrist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, some people may be familiar with her, introduced what became known as the five stages of grief. And she based her studies on patients that were facing terminal illness. So now, you know, years later, a lot of studies have been done. The experts have come forward and said, yes, you know, there are these stages that people go through, these stages of grief, emotions, but it's not necessarily just for people that are facing terminal illness. We've discovered that we experience these same emotions through any type of loss in our lives that we discussed earlier. So just to give you a brief rundown of what they are, they're not in any particular order, but this first one would be something, we'll call it denial, which is your disbelief and a numbness. You know, you just don't believe this is happening. You're denying that there's even a loss that's taking place or that you're going to experience a loss. The next one is anger, another stage that you can go through, which is blaming others. You can be blaming yourself. You can just be angry, and we all know what that feels like, okay? Mm-hmm. Then we have a stage called bargaining. And so that's like we're bargaining with ourselves. Or I'll give you an example. So I would say if I am cured of this cancer, I will never smoke again, unless if you're a smoker. So that's like a bargaining with yourself. So we're going to go through that stage. There's also a stage called depressed moods where we're going to be depressed, we're going to be sad, we're going to have sadness, crying, we're going to feel lonely. That necessarily doesn't mean that it's going to be an overwhelming depression or a deep depression, but that's just the stage that some people will experience. And then coming out of this thing, it's called acceptance, and it's coming to terms with your loss. And so these are the five basic stages, and I want to emphasize that it's not a simple list that you can go by and say, okay, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. It can happen at any time. Any of these things can happen at any time, not in any particular order, but you possibly will experience some of these emotions. And so just being aware of some of these emotions that you're experiencing, and then you can better understand how you can cope and deal with them. But that's just the list of five stages of grief that they've pretty much listed as the standards.
Well, and I know for myself, too, that, you know, when I lost my father, which was quite sudden and not expected, he just, right after his 60th birthday, he goes to sleep and never wakes up. And, you know, I found myself going through maybe not so much the denial, because obviously, but I think we can, denial, you also said, was could be a part of the process of just sort of pushing away the grief, right? We don't really want to, we don't acknowledge that we're dealing with a loss.
That's true.
But for me, you know, I know I bounce back and forth between the anger and the sadness, the depression, you know, so I'd be real sad, and then I'd be really upset, you know, mad, very angry at why is he gone? Why did they, you know, why was this person that I didn't get enough time with them? You know, so there were a lot of things like that. And
mm-hmm.
so,
that's
correct. And even, you know, regret, you know, not maybe seeing him more, things like that. But so it's very, you know, like you said, obviously not a linear process or anything like that, but it, you know, these are the things that you experience as you're trying to move through that. And mm-hmm. you know, in your book, which we're also new, see, I love learning new stuff here. You mentioned three additional aspects of grief that were in addition to those five stages. So what are those?
That's true. Well, there's a stage of numbness, it's called. I know I mentioned numbness before, disbelief and numbness, but this is a different type of numbness. This is a mechanical functioning and a social insulation or isolation, whereas you really actually have a hard time even physically functioning, mechanically, doing the mechanical things that you're used to doing during the day. Getting up and getting dressed is considered a mechanical function, putting your shoes on. So you just wind up being numb to all of this, and also social insulation. You just kind of insulate yourself from society and even from your friends. You know, you might isolate yourself from friends, and so that's one of them is called numbness. Another one is disorganization, and so that's with intensive feelings of loss where you just disorganize. And you know, we all know we've all experienced being disorganized about something when we had something heavy on our mind, or even if we've experienced losses, it's really difficult to get organized. And so that's another one that, you know, that's another stage that we can go through. And then, of course, there's a reorganization, which is, you know, sort of like the acceptance part of it. It's not saying that, you know, you're, you know, over the grief and all. It's just that you're ready to accept and you're ready to start maybe reorganizing your life, reentry into a more normal social life maybe, or something of that nature. You know, you're just ready now to just reorganize. And sometimes it's necessary to do that, you know, and sometimes we just do that automatically. We feel that there's a need to reorganize. So those are the three extra stages that, or behaviors that can be associated with grief.
Well, we actually have a chat question that came from Joshua. He said, does someone avoid stopping an addiction because they are afraid to grieve?
Yeah, you know, it's my opinion and opinion of some experts in the field that, yes, you're absolutely right. They will avoid the stopping the addiction. I'll give you an example, okay? Why would anybody want to stop something that made them feel so good? And we always, in our memories, we only remember the good parts of something. Like, we remember the party the night before, but we hardly ever remember the hangover. So our mind automatically decides that I'm just going to remember the good parts of this. And why would somebody want to replace something that's a coping mechanism when it makes them feel good? The only thing is when they start realizing that it's not, it's only a temporary fix, and you know, like they always say, your problems are going to be there waiting for you in the morning, then they can start moving beyond the addiction. But yes, you can grieve definitely from kicking a habit, but the important thing is that you're going to go through it, and when you kick the habit, you're going to look back on it and say, well, why did I even do that to begin with? So, yeah, so in a sense, it's very difficult sometimes for addicts to realize that the feelings that they're experiencing are all due to their loss and losing something that was a vital, important part of their lives, and just like any other loss. So, yes, you know, to answer your question, yes, it's difficult for people, but they can do it, and the beauty of it is that once they realize that the emotions, the anger and the denial and all these things that they're experiencing, even the depression, okay, will go away once the habit goes away. And once they retrain their mind, and we're going to talk about addiction tonight, but once they train their mind and their unconscious to form a new behavior, a new positive behavior, then a lot of those emotions will disappear. So I hope I answered your question.
No, I think that's great, and thank you to Joshua for asking it. I have a hard time. My producer, Michelle, is so wonderful, you know, feeding those to us. I wanted to go back, you know, just a comment that I had about the three additional, you know, aspects that you mentioned, sort of that disconnect. And I would imagine, you know, do you think like that disconnect and the scattered, you know, I'm so visual. I look at the disorganization as sort of just your whole psyche kind of being scattered to the wind and sort of fragmented. And I would imagine, you know, those might come up more with complicated types of grief then.
Yes, it would be more complicated grief where you get to the point where you are disconnecting. I mean, there's mild disconnection. You may disconnect for a couple of days, you know, just because you say, I need a time out, you know. But when it becomes prolonged and it becomes deeper depression, a deeper disconnect, then it's important to realize what's going on, and then it's important to seek the proper support and help that you need, you know, because sometimes, you know, even though grief is an individual process that we all have to face individually, we don't have to face it alone in that sense. There's support out there, and I would highly recommend anybody that's feeling deep depression or whatever to get some help, to ask for support, because there's no shame in it at all. There's no shame in asking for the help that you need, and there's areas that, you know, there's a lot of resources available out there if you just look for them.
Well, and I, you know, I think that we need to understand too, and this is something that we come back to again and again. I think when we're talking about, you know, healing ourselves, going within, you know, discovering the true nature of who we are, that our emotions are normal, right? They're normal parts of life. And
yes,
like you said, it's a normal human reaction to loss. And I think that sometimes we definitely don't accept that. I know for me, one of my most undesired emotions that I judged all the time would have been anger, even though I now know that that's a normal part of the process. And, we have talked a lot about addiction so far, and, you know, certainly, you know, when you are addicted, you know, you're trying to suppress, obviously, some very painful memories. But just being able to also understand that with all those experience, you know, all those emotions, you're also going through, you know, the grieving process. But again, it's normal. And this is something that I had to learn the hard way a long time ago, was to be able to allow ourselves to have the feelings that we need in order to, you know, to move past something, you know, like a loss. So, and so moving, you know, right along, obviously, you know, this is a normal process, grief. There are all kinds of griefs. There's these stages that we can engage in any order. And of course, you know, the emotions in your book specifically, which is what I also love about your book, is how to manage, you know, feelings of the sadness, worry, anxiety, anger, you know. So what I'd like to start now with the second half of the show here is to talk about ways that we can, you know, manage the feelings that we're experiencing.
Well, certainly, you know. Well, you do experience a lot of emotions. Some of the feelings are sadness, yearning, there's worry, anxiety, there's anger that you discussed as well, you mentioned, and so on. And, you know, so what we have here is we may experience any of these emotions at any time, and this week what we're going to do is just kind of recognize and manage these feelings. And how you say, oh, how do I manage it? Well, sadness and yearning, for instance, these are some ideas. We can allow ourselves to cry. I'll tell you why that's very important. Voltaire said that tears are the silent language of grief, was a quote. Voltaire was a poet. And so, well, it's important that we allow ourselves to know that these emotions are okay. You know, we don't have to hold it inside. We don't have to suppress crying, okay? We don't have to hold the loss and the feelings inside. So, you know, one way to get past the sadness and the yearning is to do some crying. You guys, if you feel funny about that, go lock yourself in the bathroom somewhere and cry. You know, you don't have to do it, you know, other people, but, you know, it certainly will make you feel, I think it will probably make you feel better, but that's just my opinion. But, you know, you can also look at photographs and pictures, you know, of the person or wherever you were at. That'll help you sort things out. You know, take part in activities of acknowledgement. In other words, if you can't, let's say somebody had a funeral or something and you weren't able to attend, okay, maybe just in your mind or wherever you're at, just have yourself a little activity or a celebration or something of that nature to celebrate that person's life or something. Just to acknowledge that and also to acknowledge your loss, whatever it might be, you know, whatever it is to you, whatever, you know, if you're praying, you know, you pray, whatever, you just find that activity that will acknowledge that. And most of all, just take care of yourself. You know, take care of your body and just, you know that, you know, that's important, that you need to take care of yourself. And the same thing with even worry and anxiety. We can talk and write down our feelings. Think about that. You know, you can write down your feelings, you talk feelings, you look at it, and then say to yourself, okay, this is how I'm actually feeling right now. So you can take charge of whatever you can. Just know that, okay, this is certain things I have control over, and then there's certain things I don't have control over. And then you can also, another thing you can do is you can allow other people to do some things for you. If you feel worried and anxious, have somebody else do something for you to kind of take a little bit of that burden off of you. So don't forget to ask for emotional support, and also don't forget to exercise. It's important that you do that. Okay. You may feel guilt. You know, people have a lot of feelings of guilt, you know, for whatever reason that may be. So you can write a list of, like, your or our should-haves and our should-nots, should-not-haves. In other words, just write it down. You know, just what you're doing is you're communicating with yourself. You're actually, you know, looking at what it is that's in your mind, what's happening in your head. You put it down on paper and it's looking back at you and saying, oh, yeah, okay, that's how I'm feeling. So think about how you could have done things differently. Okay, if you're experiencing guilt, that is. You can also help others. Okay? You know, you let go of that guilt because guilt is something that, you know, it happened then. There's nothing you can do now to take back the past, but you can do things moving forward or even in the present that will help you just validate the person you are, what you have to offer. So being able to help others is very, very important if you have time to do that, you know. And the one thing that gets most of us the most is the frustration and the anger. So, you know, frustration is definitely anger, and frustration is based on us feeling that we had no control over something, or that we've been wronged, or we've been slighted in some way, or that we blame somebody else for things. So you can do is you can talk to someone that you trust about your feelings. You know, you can do that. You can do concentrated breathing, which, you know, it's an exercise, a coping exercise, whether it's, you know, doing a type of breathing we call belly breathing, which you're checking, you know, your abdomen for rising and falling as you inhale and as you exhale. There's also quiet breathing, which we learn to do when we do yoga, where we breathe in at the count of three, like, you know, very slowly, and breathe out, hold it, and then breathe out at the count of three, things like that. Just kind of exercises like that to help you calm down and help you not be angry at the moment. You know, if you're breathing, if you're concentrating on your breathing, you certainly don't have time to be angry about something, okay? The more anger is when we start breathing really, really fast, right? But if we take the opportunity to slow our breathing down, then we start concentrating our breathing rather than our anger. So that's just a little something you can try out that might work, you know. Just think, you know, just practice the breathing and also practice meditation. We're going to talk about a little bit about that a little later if we have time. So just recognize things that you cannot control and just going to let go of them sometimes. And I know that's difficult to do, but the more you practice, the better and better you become at controlling your anger. So I hope that helps a little bit, you know, some of the areas that, you know, the emotions that you can feel and how you can do little things like that to just try to help, you know, cope with some of that. Just remember one thing, though. Like CJ was saying, it's okay. You're going to experience these things, and it's okay. You know, be kind to yourself. You know, don't beat up on yourself, because everybody's going to go through these feelings one day or another. And so you just let yourself do that. And with the anger, too, can I say one more thing about that, which is important, is that don't hold it inside. Okay? Doesn't mean you go out and you punch somebody. Definitely you don't do that. I hardly do not recommend that, okay? But you can definitely write your feelings down, okay? The more you hold it inside, the more you're going to get angrier and angrier unless you express yourself. So you can express yourself by taking a run or jogging or swimming. You can express yourself by punching a pillow. Hopefully nobody's behind a pillow, just I'm saying. Just don't hold it inside, because that won't do you any good. So I hope that helps, too. But that's my opinion, you understand.
Well, I think these are all wonderful, you know, wonderful suggestions for managing the feelings, too. And I'm so visual, as I said. You know, as you're talking about that, of course, emotions are normal, but I always look at our body as a container, you know. The tears that when we experience a loss, you know, our body has to jettison that energy because everything all boils down to vibration to me, as most people know, you know, just to be able to release that energy. Or it was, you know, at a point when I lost my dad, we came upon some videotapes where I knew there'd be some footage of him. Well, there was quite a while after he died that I did not want to look at them, but I felt kind of stuck one day. So I get out of, you know, like you were saying, looking at pictures, acknowledging the loss, you know, whatever. Because sometimes you can have emotions where you know they're there, but you can't start crying for whatever reason. And so I liked what, you know, to manage the feelings, to know you have those feelings, that they're normal, that your vessel's got to let go of that energy somehow. But, you know, then I start, of course, watching the video. And, you know, and it was acknowledging the loss, celebrating him, you know, good cry, you know, the things that I really needed at that point in time. And, you know, I'm a big proponent as well. I agree with you. I think that deep breathing, that when we're in crisis, when we're moving too fast and not very mindful, we don't breathe very deeply. So stopping to do that self-care, those kind of breathing techniques is a great suggestion, Daniel, because that gets us in, you know, in a space of a little bit more, you know, presence and clarity. And certainly, like you said, with anger, I wouldn't go out and start punching anybody either. But, you have to learn how to kind of to obviously release that in a productive way. And so, you know, all those things are great things, you know, for managing it. And so I think, you know, looking at all of that, and you have some incredible exercises and coping techniques in the book. Do you want to speak briefly about some of those things?
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, just embrace gentleness with yourself, accept help when offered, and be patient. Look for comforting activities, as we talked about, like for meditation stuff. Practice good hygiene and nutrition. That's important, you know. And just stay away from alcohol or drugs because, you know, that's not a good coping mechanism for you to use. Meditation and exercise and use relaxation techniques. You know, relaxation techniques such as yoga, there's Tai Chi, there's Reiki, etc. If you're not familiar with any of these, go ahead and go on the internet or get yourself a book and read about some of these, how they help you with the total body, mind, body, and spirit connection. Okay, so you can, like we talked about, concentrating, good breathing, and become aware of your thinking, which is really, really important, okay? You're going to be able to be aware that you've got these negative thoughts that are coming in or these painful thoughts that are coming in, and then you want to be able to redirect them and put some kind of a wedge in there. In other words, what you want to do is you want to be able to say, okay, I'm going to think of a positive thing in place of this negative thing. And it's an exercise that you can do, and it takes a little while to be able to do that, but it's really good. It's a good way to cope. Just let go of things that you can't control and no longer serve you. That's important. Now, you know, with the grief process, I'm not telling you to let go of the feelings that you have of the love and the things and the moving on. I'm not telling you that you have to let go of any of those memories or anything. I'm just saying let go of the things that don't serve you. Let go of the anger. Let go of some of the feelings of guilt and things like that, okay? That's part of moving on beyond loss. Accept the process of change. And, CJ, I just want to ask a question. Did you want me to just give a brief little meditation that they can do real fast, that would help, some of that?
Well, and that kind of, yes, definitely, and that kind of goes into what my next question was too, because once we go through this process in whatever order and however we manage that, what I also love about your book is that you also then discuss how we move ourselves into a space of greater healing. In fact, you acknowledge healing in like three very important areas.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Yeah, you know, when we talk about healing or the process of healing after a loss, we're talking about being able to recognize that there's three important parts of your healing process. There's the emotional part of you, there's the physical, and then there's the spiritual areas of our well-being. And, you know, for any one of these to be out of balance creates out of balance for all three of these areas. So one technique you can do is for relaxation and for getting your mind right, sort of be able to relax your thoughts and your mind. I have a little thing in the book about a falling leaf meditation where you can just imagine that, you know, look at a spot on the wall somewhere and imagine it being like a green leaf, and just count from like 20 backwards to 1, and as you count backwards, slowly just count, see that leaf just slowly floating down to each count that you do, and then by the time you get to 1, the leaf is on the ground and you're totally relaxed. So that's one way that you can relax to get in that state where you can start working on your mind and your body and your spirit. So let me give you an example about what I'm talking about. Like for us to heal, we got to realize that we're made up of our mind, body, and our spirit. And our emotions are considered our mind. and our bodies and our spirit. And it is important to understand that each one of these parts does play a role in our overall well-being. So our emotions and our brain activity affect our bodies, which is just think about whenever we're feeling some type of emotions, our bodies say, okay, we're going to produce certain chemicals physiologically, that, you know, whether it's endorphins, whatever it is, whether it's adrenaline, that we're going to send to parts of our body because it fires off these mechanisms. And so then our bodies, if we're in a stressful situation, a stressful mindset, then of course our bodies are going to feel stress as well. So our minds definitely affect our bodies. And then of course our physical well-being and our bodies and minds, they affect our spiritual well-being. When I talk about spiritual well-being, just basically your connection with your higher source, the higher being, your connection, your spiritual connection. You can lose your faith. You can lose a lot of this spiritual, this universal connection that you have just because you're at dis-ease in your body or in your mind. And when I use the word disease, I mean at dis-ease. So if you start looking at the whole person, the whole being as being part of this, your whole person, then you can start seeing how each one of these can affect the other. So, I would recommend doing mind exercises, doing the relaxation exercise, meditation, doing the yoga and the tai chi works on both the body and the mind. Doing exercising, when you exercise, you start using muscles in your body and start sending blood and stuff and oxygen to the areas of your body, and that will start the healing process. And until we get our bodies and our minds straight, it's really difficult for us to work on our spiritual being. But in all, they're all one. So be aware of all your thought processes, be aware of your physical bodies, and nourish your bodies as well, and nourish your spirit. So that's kind of what I mean when I talk about the healing process, the body, mind, and the spirit.
Well, and there's, with all of this, what's been very interesting as we've gone through, talking about this subject together is that I noticed that some of the themes we're talking about were actually reflected in this week's angel message, which that does happen to sync up for a lot, actually, because, when we're talking about these areas of, moving into deeper healing and so that you can eventually move beyond your loss, whatever that may be. But acknowledging those areas in the angel message, they were talking about listening to the needs of those areas and being able to really be in touch with those. So I think this is applicable at what we're talking about now to our own just balanced well-being, being able to lead happy, lives with greater joy, which we all deserve. And then just looking at, my mind starts just rolling when I get guests on, and we're talking about, various topics. But I realize that for me, the early part of my life was so traumatic on a day-to-day basis, where I just survival mode. I had two daughters on my own. And it's when I know a lot of people might be able to relate to this. My life got better, but my inner world, my mind got worse. In fact, trying to let go, to slow down and finally acknowledge the pain. A lot of times when we're surviving something, we don't acknowledge, the pain or the suffering that we've had to endure certain things in our lives too. And so I went through this really difficult process because my expectation is, I found my real life partner and he loves me and everything's going to be good and all of this. The expectation is that we're just going to fly on out of there and ride off into the sunset, but life is not like that. We have emotions. We have things that if we haven't dealt with them need to be released. So again, I just, speaking from experience, just letting ourselves, realize that we can't control, we can suppress our emotions, but we certainly can't control them. It's how we feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've just got to embrace it. That's the way you feel. And, and just, be proud of yourself and be truthful and be gentle with yourself, and then start from there. You've got to have a starting point, and that's a good place to start, just being aware of that it's okay to feel the way you feel, you know, for sure. You know.
Well, something that, you know, occurs to me that, you know, may not have been in the questions that I intended to ask, but we all know people who are grieving, people who are trying to manage these kind of feelings. And so, you know, I know we're down to about 10 minutes left, but what I want to, what are some things, let's say a listener out there, somebody really close to them has lost someone or they've lost a job, and they're sort of watching them really kind of floundering with this. Now, first of all, I would suggest go out and buy your book and give it to them. But beyond that, beyond getting Daniel's book, you know, yeah, what are some things that we can do as an outside observer for those that may not be allowing themselves to go through this process?
Well, you know, my number one answer to anybody is be a good listener, okay? Don't force, you know, somebody to discuss what they're feeling or their loss that they're experiencing if they're not ready for it. Just be there. Be present for that person. Be a good listener. When they are ready, they'll share it with you. And there's different things that you can do to help them. If you see that they're actually going through some rough stuff there, whatever that may be, you may want to lend a hand with them, offer your help, support. I mean, even thinking about it, even just going and buying some groceries for somebody that is just hasn't even, you know, just can't get out and do it themselves, or because maybe they're feeling numb or something about it. But, or maybe just giving them some time, if they're a caregiver, just giving them an hour to themselves, so that they can take care of the things they need to take care of, or maybe they go out and take a walk or something, or take a walk with them, but maybe just fill in for them for about an hour. But there's so many things that we can do to help people that we don't even realize sometimes what people are going through. Just one simple little lend of a hand to them can mean a lot. It can definitely help them feel validated that what they're doing is important and what they're feeling is important. So that's sort of my suggestion would be, be a good friend, be a good listener, okay? And even if they're not ready to accept, or if you don't agree with what they're saying, okay, don't argue with anybody. Just let them go through this process and just be there for them. You know, I always say that, and in my book I talk about an old Chinese saying, you know, about the journey of grief. You know, it's a personal journey, but we don't have to walk it and experience it alone. And, you know, the road's going to be a rough road, but, you know, we don't have to choose to travel that road alone. So an important thing is remember that if somebody is alone, lend them some support, be there for them, and it might help them realize that there's somebody there for them. So, and there's just so many things I could say, but there's just not enough time, you know.
Yeah, I realize that, and I know that, you know, for myself, going through a loss or going, you know, through those experiences, sometimes people feel like they got to say the right thing, or they got to, you know, they get uncomfortable because they're like, well, I don't know what to say. This is terrible for this person, you know. And like you said, going to get some groceries, some of these very, you know, things that look minor really mean the world to people. Change of pace,
yes,
little change of scenery, let's get out and go for a walk, you know, all of those
exactly
things are wonderful. So, well, we really kind of covered some of the exercises and tools, you know, that can then help someone, how we can be good listeners and help, you know, help others. And I know I have a reading waiting on the line that I do want to get to. Joshua's waiting.
Okay.
But you mentioned that you have an event coming up, and I'd like people to know how to reach you because you've been an incredible guest.
Well, thank you, CJ. Sure. Well, you know, I do have some events. So you can go on my website. It's www.horizpro. That's HORIZPRO. I think that's also on the blog talk radio, or even on the email. Okay. Then there's also my email. It's daniel.w1@pacbell.net, Or you can use my secure email, which is on info@horizepro.com. You can go on my website and use my secure contact page if you'd like. And you just, all the information is optional, other than you might want to give me your email address so I can respond to you. So that's a good thing. So, yeah, I'm awful on Facebook, you know, and, you know. So,
well, that's
you know,
how we connected,
to
too.
Yeah, please feel free to get to contact me if you have any questions or anything I can do to give you a hand there, okay? So thank
I want to thank you for your time. Thank you so much for coming, Daniel, on the show, and I appreciate your time tonight.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Well, that was our discussion, guys, about grief, and wow, I think we covered a lot. I'm glad it wasn't trying to get it in the half hour. That would have not done it justice, of course. But you know, we have to acknowledge that we have feelings, and we don't have control over those feelings, and be willing to do, you know, whatever it takes to take care of ourselves and others during this process. So I have somebody that's been patiently waiting to come on the show for a reading here, so that's kind of how we're going to wrap up the evening. So, Joshua, welcome to the Angel Connection.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thank you, Daniel, for everything that you've shared with us tonight.
He was wonderful, just wonderful.
Absolutely.
What can I do for you, dear?
I have a question. You told me a long time ago, probably about a month ago, to dream bigger than I've ever dreamed before, because
uh-huh.
there are big things in my horizon, and I'm just starting to realize that what you're saying definitely resonates with me. I've been on a spiritual path for this last year where I haven't had a home, and I've just let the universe guide me where to go, and
uh-huh.
many, many, many things have happened on this path, and I feel that there's a part of me that's ready now. I've let go of everything, kind of what you're talking about on the show. I let go of every possession and everything in my life that no longer served me. Things were stolen, people left, everything just kind of, you know, melted away. And now I'm wondering what my angels would say as far as me finding my place now, where either I'm living somewhere where it's, you know, stable living, and also earning a living doing what I'm doing now.
Okay, well, what the angels say, Joshua, about kind of the process of, like you said, you've let go, and I see it. It's like you've kind of just stripped all the stuff out of your life in order to really begin again. And what, you know, especially the seraphim are saying, especially right now over the next couple months, that you're going to be going through. Pay very close attention to this week's angel message, because the questions basically that you are asking me will come through what they say inspiration, okay? So what I want to say then as a practice or something that you need to spend time on is, you know, how often are you, let me ask you one question though, are you meditating?
I meditate just a different way than a lot of people are doing. But
okay.
I do more of the, you know, asking the universe to work through me, and
mm-hmm.
But not so much getting quiet. Sometimes I do, but whatever it is, I always have in the forefront of my mind, how could I serve humanity in the greatest way today?
Well, you know, Joshua, you're just the most beautiful soul. But what I want to say about this, and meditation can be on true meditation, whether it be 5 minutes or people who can do it for a really long time. The first thing when you're doing meditation is to simply follow your breath, okay? You sort of
okay.
clear the mind, even of those service to humanity. We already know that's why you're here. That's awesome. But what they want you to do, especially over the next couple of weeks, is to really do the time on the cushion kind of thing. In other words, commit
okay.
to that clarity of mind. And you can email me if you want some instructions. I'll help you with some preliminary practice. But what's interesting about your call is that they really want me to guide you in what you can do for yourself to discover those answers. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah, but it's going to come to you very soon, so you're sort of at that, you know, wondering what's next. You're going to see it. I guarantee
okay, well,
it, but you just
I'm
need...
excited. I mean, it was instead of that worrisome thing, it's, you know, I'm excited
mm-hmm.
to see how it unfolds. So, and I do have one other quick question in regards to this. Do you or somebody you know have a hard time with internet, cell phones, electricity? Because I seem to be shutting down a lot of things, even the DMV.
Okay. Yes. You know, I have experienced this quite a bit. And that's kind of its whole other subject. But it is normal when your energy is beginning to open and fluctuate that you may have not so nice of an effect on, you know, on equipment, things that we do. So, but thank you so much. And we've gone over, so it's recording, but I love you, Joshua. You keep at it. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's all the time we have this evening. That was fun. My first going over ever since the beginning of this show. You've been listening to The Angel Connection with CJ Martis. Be sure to tune in to next week's show when author and incredible lady D.A. Wills joins me for a wonderful discussion on how we can thrive rather than survive. Until then, my friends, remember to be angelic to yourself so that you can become an angel to others. Have a blessed week.